We continue our learning. We're in Shabbos, Perachov Dalid, Mishnah Dalid. We're doing the last two Mishnahs of the Masechta. Mishnah first says that we're permitted to cut up gourds in front of an animal. One would have thought this cannot be done. If you take a look at the Bar Tanura makes the following point. He says, Va'afal gav distaman lav lemachal behema kaimi elala adam. Even though this, you would say, wait, maybe it should be muksa. Why muksa? Because gourds are typically, pumpkins, gourds, squash. That's fit for human consumption. I wouldn't normally feed it to my animal. So maybe it should be muksa, for me to handle it in order to feed it to my animal, because it's something that I typically would eat for myself. So the Mishnah says that this is permitted, and we assume the Tanakhama is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who has the more lenient approach to the laws of Muktzah. And what else does Rabbi Shimon allow? He says, you're also allowed to cut up a carcass, a dead animal, for dogs to eat. Now, the Bar Tanura makes the point, it became an avela today. It died today on its own. That means that when Shabbos started, even though when Shabbos started, this was fit for human consumption. All you would do is wait till after Shabbos, you would slaughter it, and then you could eat it yourself. You could check it. So why would I be feeding an animal that's alive and well, a kosher animal, to my dogs? I wouldn't. It became a carcass on Shabbos. It just died of old age on Shabbos. So that maybe should be muksa. Says Rabbi Shimon that is going to be permitted as well. Could be that we noticed that perhaps it was going to die, and maybe that's where Rabbi Shimon would allow it. But that is Rabbi Shimon's halacha. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Im lo isa nevela me'er of Shabbos, asura. Lefi she'enem en amuchan. Now, if this animal, he argues with the case of the nevela, if this were not a nevela me'er of Shabbos, then it's not allowed. He holds that anything that's fit for human consumption is obviously not intended to be fed to your animals. So because this animal is alive and well, or at least alive, when Shabbos started, we assume that it's set aside for shechting it. So therefore, it's usher for you to use. It would be muktzah. You're not allowed to handle it in order to feed it to your animal. And that's exactly what he says. If you should eat min hamuchan, it is not prepared for use of the animal. It is considered muktzah, says the Bar Tanura. Dechol midi, dechazi le'inish. Anything that's fit for a human, lo maktzah le'behema. You don't designate it for your animal. V'afilu chol emer of Shabbos. Ah, so now you almost see from the Bar Tanura what Rabbi Shimon was saying. Rabbi Shimon was saying, this is mutter even if the animal were sick, Erev Shabbos, and maybe you were thinking about the fact that maybe it's going to die and you're going to feed it. And that's why Rabbi Shimon holds that it's okay and it's not muksa. But Rabbi Yehuda obviously holds, sover she'tisrapei. He thinks that it may heal. And therefore, I'm going to be using it for myself. So therefore, if it dies on Shabbos, I didn't intend to use it for myself, for an animal, and therefore it's prohibited. It's going to be muksa. Perek chavdal and Mishnah. Hey, mifirin adaram b'Shabbos. Mishnah says that although from Yeshayo, Perek Nunches, once again, mimsochef tzucha, the Torah says we have to, my business dealings, and anything that falls into that category is prohibited on Shabbos. So one of those things is hafaras nedarim, is the annulment of vows, which is something that the Torah says, beginning with Parshas Matos, can be done by a father for his young daughter, or for a husband for the wife. And he has the ability to do that biyom shamo, the day that he hears it. And that's a machlokas, what that means. One opinion is, the day that he hears it is the halachic day. So let's say a woman would take a neder on Friday night, right when Shabbos starts. The husband has the full 24 hours till Shabbos ends, right before Shabbos ends, to annul that neder. But if she took a neder, let's say Shalashuddha's time, and the 20 minutes till Shabbos is over, so he only has 20 minutes to annul that neder. That's also biyom shamo. So therefore, the Mishnah is teaching us that although this should be a violation of Mitzochef Tzucha, that's all true if you could annul the neder after Shabbos. But since it's only Biyom Shamo and she took the neder on Shabbos, he only has till the end of the day, he doesn't have a choice but to annul that neder on Shabbos. And that may be, that's important. That's almost for a mitzvah. And that's a part of the mimsochef tzecha, so chafotzecha asurim, but cheftse shamayim utarim, the Gemara says. And that's what we know from the Zmiros as well. Chafotzecha asurim gam lachashav cheshbanos, right? That's, but ulishadech habanos, but something, ul tinok lalamdo sefer. But if I'm planning a shidduch, which is for a mitzvah, even though there's money involved, or I'm hiring a tutor for my son, so that's hiring a Rebbe, and we discuss money, that's okay. Making an appeal for tzedakah, that's okay, because that's not cheftzecha, that's cheftze shamayim. So here too, hafaras nedarim may be important for the purposes of a mitzvah. In fact, when it comes to hafaras nedarim, in cases of Daf Yomi's finishing nedarim very soon, the halachos of that are beino leveina, or inu nefesh, which are based on the relationship between a husband and a wife, may be very important to annul the ned during that time. There is an opinion that says that a husband always has a full 24 hours. So the clock starts ticking right when the woman makes the neder, and he has 24 hours. So that would mean that he wouldn't necessarily have to annul the neder on Shabbos. He could wait till after Shabbos. So he took the neder on Shabbos. So why would we allow him to violate him? This is not something that becomes a mitzvah anymore. Here, he can wait till after Shabbos. The answer must be, the Gemara says, according to that opinion, that it's a full 24 hours. It must be a neder that relates to her observance of Shabbos. Let's say the wife took a neder. She's not going to eat. It's related to Oneg Shabbos or the like. So there, the husband has the ability to annul that on Shabbos. That's also for the purposes of a mitzvah. And that explains the next line, Vinish Olin L'Dvarim Shehein L'Tzorach HaShabbos. This is about Hataras Nedarim. Hataras Nedarim, different than Hafaras Nedarim, is where you go to a chacham, one person or three regular people, as we do on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and they have the ability to, in this case, to be matir the neder, and they do so by finding a Pesach almost retroactively. The Hafaras Nedarim is at that moment, Mikanu Lahaba. But in the case of going to a chacham of Hataras Nedarim, you go to the chacham, and either there's charata, you have regret, or they find a Pesach where they say, oh, had you known this was going to be true, would you have made the neder? And of course you say no. So then they have the ability to be matir that neder, that they have the right to do. But the Mishnah here says, v'nish olam l'dvarim shehein l'tzorech ha-Shabbos. It has to be something that's related to Shabbos. And because if you're not related to Shabbos, so then you can wait it till after Shabbos in order to do Hataras Nedarim. You don't have the same 24-hour clock. There's no concept of Biyom Shamo. And therefore, it's only allowed on Shabbos if it's Litzorech HaShabbos. Then the Mishnah says, Pokekin es HaMa'or. What am I allowed to do on Shabbos? I'm allowed to stop up a window. If the window is open, meaning there's a hole in the wall and that gives me some light, and I want to put a board there in order to make the room dark, let's say. So the Mishnah says this is permitted. This follows, you may remember from the 17th Perek, we had a machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer says it's only allowed if it's hanging, it's on the floor and it's tied, then it doesn't look like you're building, but just putting a board in the wall that looks like you're building, adding on to an OLRI, whatever it is, that's not allowed. And the Chachamim said, no, you're allowed to stop up the window with this board, and even if it's not tied, it's not suspended from the wind, it's not going to be a problem. Rabbi Eliezer once again says, no, it's like you're adding on, it's most of a labinyan, you're adding on to the building. So this Mishnah seems to be following the opinion of the Chachamim, because it says, pokikin asama or. And the Rambam says, no, you could say Rabbi Eliezer could be the author of this Mishnah as well, because the Mishnah here is talking about where I'm putting in something into the window, not necessarily a board, it doesn't say what I'm putting in. Could be that I'm putting in like a kli, that's clearly not going to stay there permanently. Even Rabbi Eliezer would allow such a thing. What else can I do on Shabbos? Umodidin es hamatlis. I'm allowed to measure the matlis. A matlis is a patch. Why would I be measuring a patch? So let's say you have a patch of cloth that became tameh, and then it touched food. So I want to know, did the food become tameh from that patch? Well, it depends if the patch became tameh. I need to know the size of the patch. It's patch, we'll learn in Seder Taros in a long time. 3 by 3 etzbos. So we actually did this in the second parak of Shabbos, first parak of Shabbos. We discussed a little bit about the laws of Tumah V'Tahara. 3 by 3 etzbos, a cloth that's 3 by 3 finger breasts, is mekabel tumah. And therefore, I need to measure it for mitzvah purposes. Once again, even though measuring is something that would be also part of a mitzvah of business commerce dealings, we're allowed to do this for the purposes of a mitzvah in order to know whether something became tamei or not. Vesa mikvah, same thing. I have a mikvah. People need to go to the mikvah. I need to know if there's 40 saw. Do we have the amount of what the mikvah is here? The Bar Tanur tells you it doesn't say 40 saw. He tells you it's ama al ama barom shalosh amos. That's really where the 40 saw comes from. It's one ama by one ama and height of 3 amos, because we assume that's the minimum size. That's the average size rather of a human being. 3 amos tall, 1 amma in width, 1 amma in depth, and that's where we get the 40 saw, about 150 plus gallons. Obviously, mikvos are a lot larger than that. I need to measure whether it has the requisite amount of water that is permitted on Shabbos, because it's for the purposes of the mitzvah. Measuring for another purpose would be uvdin d'chol, would be a violation of mimsochef tzicha, so that's not allowed. We have other areas where we've been measuring on Shabbos, and that may be a problem. There was a story in the days of the father of Rabbi Tzadok and the days of Abba Shol ben Butnis, that what do they do on the Shabbos? Number one, shepakagu es ha-ma'or b'tafiach. They filled in the ma'or. There was a hole in the wall, window, and they put a tafiach. They put a kli inside. This is one of those, this is an example of, it was a kli cheres. It was it was made out of earthenware, and they, closed up that, a hole in the wall, a window in the wall with the tafiach. And we'll see about what this is all about. The karshuas hamikeda vigemi. And they tied a cup with gemi, with like a reed, with rush, with a reed. For what purpose? Leida im yesh ba gigis poseach tefach im lav. To see if the vat, the barrel, had an opening of a tefach or not. What is happening here? So there was a case, the Mishnah is talking about a case, where there was a narrow path between two houses, and there was a mace. There was a person who was in one of the houses who was or very close to dying, and they were afraid the person is going to die very quickly. And I don't want, obviously, the house where the person will pass away will become tamei mace. But we don't want tumah to spread from the first house through the second house through the window. And that potentially could happen, especially because there was this vat, there was this barrel that was over the two roofs of the two buildings, and therefore the tumah could potentially go out of one window and it would enter into the other window. So what do? They blocked the second window where the mace was not with the kli cheres, with an earthenware jug. And that can't be mekabel tumah if the exterior of the barrel is on the outside. The rule of kli cheres is that it's only mekabel tumah from the inside, mitocho, but not minigabo, not from the outside. They were very smart. They took the earthenware jug, let's say, and they put it in the window of the second house where the mace was not, and they filled up the whole opening. And they did that by sticking the bottom of the barrel was facing outward, with the interior of the barrel facing inward. And then what did they do? Vikashu, but there's another thing. They tied a cup with this reed, and the tying was not permanent, and the reed we don't usually leave there. So therefore this was tying that was permitted, and also it's for the purposes of the mitzvah. Perhaps that's allowed as well. And the whole purpose was to see if the gigis, if that vat that was covering the two roofs, had a poseach tefach or not. Meaning, afterwards, they needed to open the window that they blocked with the jug. So what's going to happen now? You open up that window, you take out the jug, maybe the tumah is going to come in. So when they did that, they realized, oh, well, now we have to see if that barrel, that vat that's covering the two roofs is really connecting one roof to the other, because there was an opening in that vat. And they wanted to see, maybe it was a poseach tefach, maybe it had the measure of a tefach of airspace, and a tefach of airspace would be enough that the tumah from one window would not then transfer into the other window over the path, because this vat that was covering, acting as a roof, had an opening of Poseach Tefach, who was split a width of a hand breadth, and the two parts were not considered one roof, so the tumah wouldn't spread to the other side. So this is what they were all measuring, and they lowered this cup. They had to tie a gemi, this reed on it, and so that was a that potentially a malacha. We'll explain why that was not. And they lowered the cup, which the cup was itself a tefach, to see if it would slide through or not. So, what does the Mishnah here say? You know what you learn from this story? Shepokikin. Number one, we're allowed to close up the window. They did it with this earthenware vessel that was not considered adding on to a binyan. Either like we explained before, because it's like the opinion of the Rabbanon, who hold putting in a board is not a problem, or like the Rabbanon understood, even Rabbi Eliezer would agree, since this was a kli, it wasn't a real board, you know you're going to take it out at some point. And what else do we learn from there? Umodidin, that you're allowed to measure. That's exactly what they were doing. They were measuring for a mitzvah purpose, to see, as they were measuring to see if there was an airspace of a tefach in the vat, in that barrel that covered the roof. Vikoshrin Bashabas, and you're also allowed a tie. You're allowed a tie for mitzvah purposes. It can't be obviously a permanent tie, permanent knot. That's us or Doraisa, but since it's only Darabanan, it wasn't permanent, and you're using a reed that people don't usually leave there, and it's not going to stay permanently, so therefore that was permitted on Shabbos. Mazel Tov, and the conclusion of Masechet Shabbos.